Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
I wonder how, in light of the following poll, you can make that assertion. This is a recent NBC poll. Is Biden honest and trustworthy? 34% yes, 48% no. Ability to handle a crisis? 30%, 32% yes, 49% no. Competent and effective? 31% yes, 49% no. Has the necessary mental and physical health to be president? 28% yes, 54% no. Uniting the country? 23% yes, 50% no. I mean, given that poll, which, you know, is not just a single poll, it's been, you know, versions of that have been repeated in poll after poll, survey after survey, since the midterm elections and before, and I think one of my colleagues referenced a recent poll that said 60-something percent, more Democrats don't want President Biden to be their nominee than Republicans don't want President Trump to be their nominee. So given all of that, why are you so convinced that it was President Biden that caused the Democratic success in the midterms and not that the Democrats had success in spite of the president?
That was a question in the White House briefing room from the New York Times. Sometimes you just can't get away from reality. And everybody knows that the faith in Biden is zero. And as we have always known, and now has become a front and center conversation, the faith in Kamala Harris is also completely and totally zero. Zero, I tell you. No faith whatsoever. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Now we come to the State of the Union. What is it that we can expect this evening? Well, I told you that part of his conversation is going to be a conversation about economics. Look what I've done. Look at the Biden economic plan. Prices are coming down, and gas prices and jobs. It's all going to be his conversation. Conversation only tells part of a story, right? He's never going to give the full story, but he's going to utilize the latest jobs numbers, 500,000 jobs in comparison to 187,000, which was the estimate. I mean, it's a brutal beat. Makes you wonder who, you know, makes those estimates. But without question, that's what he's going to do. It's going to be economics, that somehow your life is better because of Joe. You know that that's not true. I'm telling you that's what he's going to put forward. The other conversation he's going to put forward is the idea of Bidenism versus extremism. The extreme conversation is going to come up repeatedly because he understands that he also has to make the case in this speech if indeed he wants to run again. He also has to continue to make the case that you may not trust me, but you can't trust those guys. And the way they have decided to engage that is utilizing the conversation of extreme and extremist. Extreme MAGA agenda, extremist this, extremist that, extreme positions, extreme views, wanting to negotiate on the debt limit, that's so extreme. It's who they are and what they do. While he is having this extremist conversation, he will, of course, push for, wait for it, unity. He will push the idea that we can unify and there's nothing that we can't do together. And he'll say, we are the United States of America. That's his favorite line. You know, unless he says, listen, or, you know, what else does he say? Hear the facts. I mean it. That'll come up. For sure. I think one of the worst pieces of advice came from Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki responding to a question from Willie Geist on MSNBC while Corinne Jean-Pierre is a guest. Remember, Jen Psaki was the White House press secretary, now has the job at MSNBC. Here's the question. Here's the response.
What can the president do to change the idea that he hasn't done much? Because you look at this polling even the last couple of days and a majority of the country says, nah, I don't think he's done very much. Or, yeah, I think we're still on the wrong track. What should be the president's objective tonight?
I mean, two things. One, giving a speech that even if it's 40 million people watch it, which is less than the Super Bowl, but still that's a huge number of people. That's a big opportunity for any president. It's the biggest speech of the year any president gives. But what he needs to do is tell a story. Joe Biden is an amazing storyteller. I mean, you sit in the Oval Office, can tell you, and he can storytell for 6 hours. He needs to do that in the speech tonight. People aren't sitting at home and just like writing down data points, right? They vote and they move. They support people who they feel something from. So he needs to tell the story. I've talked to some of Corinne's current colleagues and some of my own about this, and about my former ones, her current ones. Sorry, that was confusing. And what they have said is that he's going to speak to the people who feel invisible, the people who don't feel heard.
So he's going to speak to you. Oh, no, no, he's not going to speak to you. He's going to call you extremists. But Jen Psaki's advice, which is, by the way, her utilizing her platform to be able to tell the White House how to do this thing. Maybe they don't take her calls anymore. I don't know. He should storytell? Oh, you sit in the Oval Office. He can storytell for 6 hours. You mean he can ramble? Oh, I have an uncle who will storytell for 6 hours. It's not the same story. And at the end of the 6 hours, you wonder what happened to your life. You think Joe Biden's a great storyteller? This is what they think? I hope he does some storytelling. I really do hope. Because that's not his strong suit. I think we're in for a possible train wreck, kids. Possible. I don't know about probable yet.